A previously recorded Matt Slick Show.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, welcome everyone. It's me, Matt Slick. Listen to Matt Slick Live. It is January 14th, 2021. For the podcasters later on, if you want to give me a call, we have five open lines. All you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. Give me a call. Let's see. A couple things, I guess you could say. I want to say thank you again to all of you who signed up for the end-of-year matching funds drive that we had. Really appreciate it. It was great, and it came through well. And it's going to help us a great deal. In fact, let me just say this: we've been having a lot of trouble lately because of the money issues with the missionaries, because we have people on staff different parts of the world, and the way things are going lately, it's getting more and more difficult to pay them because there's restrictions here, restrictions there, and it's getting more expensive even to send money. All right. So, long story short, because of the donations, we were able to pay them a few months in advance. Not a whole bunch, you know, but they're not making a whole bunch. But enough to live on in their respective countries. And it is cheaper in the long run. That's just one of the benefits that we've been able to have because of your support, as well as just keeping the website going. And as you may know, we have a new version of the website, and we are aware of how slow it is. And we're going to be having a meeting about that later tonight. We've got an expert who's going to probably be joining us, and we're going to work on that. It's just, you know, one of the things we've got to do. So, yes, we know. And if you have any issues with the site, let's just say that you're in there and you're checking things out, and you notice a bug. Whatever, it doesn't make a difference. A broken link, whatever. You can just submit an email to webmaster@carm.org, and you can just say, hey, this is what I saw on this page. Give us the page, the article, whatever it is, and just give a detail of it, and we can go check it out and fix it. Because there's like 6,000 articles on the site, and there's just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of links, and it really just, there's a lot to cover. So that's one of the things there. Also, just remind you again that please give us a call here. We have five open lines, 877-207-2276. We stay on the air by your support. Please consider supporting us. All you have to do is go to carm/donate, and you can help us out. We ask for, you know, $5, $10 a month. That helps us to establish a budget. And let's see, we have a prayer ministry, prayer@carm.org, prayer@carm.org. And if you are interested in praying or having people pray for you, have some needs that you want to have covered, prayed about, well, that's what you do. You call up, and we have someone who takes care of all of that, and they give the prayer requests to others on the prayer team, and you are lifted up, and the issue is lifted up. So prayer@carm.org. All right, we still have five open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. Hold on one sec. There we go. Now, last night I was in a debate, kind of a debate discussion with Dr. Ron Garrett, and he's an atheist, and we discussed atheism, Christianity, and morality. And it went on for about 2 hours, and it was a fine discussion. We just kind of did an opening, and he wasn't all that prepared because he had life issues that kind of stopped him from getting ready. That's, I understand how that works. It was a good, friendly discussion. But if you saw that, if you have any comments about it, I would like to hear what you thought about our discussion last night. Now, more and more people are asking me to be on interviews. Like, I have to be on one in 4.5 hours, and we're going to be discussing the nature of covenant with a group or whatever it is. And so I'm doing more debates and doing more issues and things like that. So if that sounds something you want to lift up in prayer, we'd certainly love that. Please remember me in your prayers, because I can certainly use that as I debate, reach out, try and present the gospel to everybody I can. So, hey, look, we have three open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's just get on the air here with, I don't know who it is, but from Winston-Salem, Scott. Hey, Scott, welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, I have, I don't know if you consider yourself a Greek scholar. I have some verses that look like an opportunity for me to shine and get the approval of God. And there's a couple of verses I'd like to read. You're real short. Can I read them?
Sure.
Okay. Well, you know the one in Matthew 5, okay, talking about Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Mm-hmm. There's other two verses I wanted to read was the law and the prophets. This is in Luke 16.
Yeah.
Verse 16.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The law and the prophets were until John. Yeah. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, mm-hmm, and every man presses into right. it.
Yep.
And the next verse says, it is easier for heaven, it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than for one tittle of the law to fail. And the last one, I quote that one, Romans 2:31, I think it is, which says, since we emphasize faith, does that mean we can forget about the law? And it says, no, God forbid, we uphold or establish.
Right, establish it, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So my question is, am I going to make any positive ground by understanding what that means?
Well, you
know what I mean?
You
I love Christians,
mm-hmm,
but
yeah,
I'm kind of like you said, we're running a race, and so only one gets the prize. And so,
well, what are you asking? Do you have to keep the law? Is that what you're asking?
Would it be in my benefit? One more verse said, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you're no wise enter into heaven. And
right.
So I know this is not, I don't think
what's
that
your
topic
question?
Has been.
So what's your question, though?
Well, should I? I mean,
should you what?
We know God's got commands.
Are you talking? You want to know what the relationship between the law and the gospel and what you should do in the law? Is that it?
Yeah. In other words, what do I get from the law?
Okay, let me help you out. All right. The
okay.
law is a guide for the Christian. Exodus 20: don't lie, don't steal, you know, honor God, things like that. These are moral guides for us. See, we are not obligated to follow the law in order to be saved, to get saved, to become saved, or anything. But we follow the law accidentally when we love God and love our neighbors. So what we're obligated to do is to love the Lord our God and also to love our neighbors ourselves. And in those, you will accidentally fulfill all of the law. When Jesus said that he didn't come to abolish the law, Matthew 5:17, he came to fulfill it. The law talked about him and about his arrival and his duties and his sacrifice. He came to fulfill what the law was about, because he says in John 5:39 that the scriptures are about him. And so that's what he's talking about. So what do we do with the law? We use the law as a guide for moral behavior. We don't have to keep the law as far as priestly stuff goes, because Jesus did that. And the issue of the law as it relates to the civil matters are important, but that's under a theocratic system, which we don't have right now, because Israel is not operating under a king or a theocracy where the law like that, the moral law, excuse me, the civil law was instantiated. So what we have here is basically for us as Christians is the moral law. So what we do is we read the New Testament, we find out that 9 out of the 10 commandments are reiterated, and the Sabbath is not reiterated. We don't have to keep the Sabbath on that particular Sabbath day. We're free because we've died with Christ, Romans 6, 6, Romans 6, 8, Romans 7, 4. So, and Romans 7, 1 through 4, actually. So it just becomes a guide, okay? And it's a reflection. The moral law is a reflection of the character of God. And so you should not lie because, well, the Bible says don't lie, okay? So you should not lie. To lie is a sin. But if you obey that law, it doesn't keep you saved, and it doesn't get you saved. The law is a tutor that leads us to Christ. You go to Galatians 3, 24 through 28, and it talks about this issue of the law. So the law shows us our sin, shows us our failures, brings us to the cross, shows us that we can't be saved by following the law, and that we need the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what the law does. And so now that we're in Christ, we look back at the law as a moral guide that codifies the moral behavior, and then we want to obey that law, but not for the purpose of becoming a Christian or staying a Christian. That's really important. Okay?
Yeah, right. I agree.
Okay.
It must be that the Holy Spirit speaks to us in our heart.
Yes.
Because God's commandments are very sure and real.
Yeah.
But to the Holy Spirit, like you said, is kind of a guide. He is a guide to receiving God's approval. That's what I was going to emphasize is what can I do to receive God's approval? I got to help myself first before I can help anybody else, right?
I can tell you what you do. What you do is you read the Word. Try and be more like Jesus. You want approval? Read what Jesus was like. Imitate what Jesus was like. That's it. You want approval from God? You already have salvation in God, but you want approval? Just ask, you know, ask the Lord to open up your heart to who Christ is, to be more like Him. That's it. Study. Study Him.
Well,
read Jesus in the Gospels. See how He was. Learn about Him. And be like Him. Okay? That's what you got to do.
Okay.
All right?
I appreciate it.
Okay.
Yes.
No problem at all. All right, Scott. Well, God bless,
buddy. Talk to you later.
Okay. All right. Hey, folks, if you want to give me a call, three open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Angel from Raleigh, North Carolina. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Very good. I hope you're doing well.
By God's grace, I am.
My question's a little good. My question's a little, I don't know, touchy, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to put my trust in God and the Lord, and, you know, whenever I don't understand something, I just give it to Him. And so I'm torn about the COVID shot, you know. I don't trust people. I don't trust people. But I don't know. I've prayed about it. And what my feeling is that if I get the COVID shot,
I'm
not disrespecting God.
Can you hold on? Because we got a break, all right? And just hold on, because I want to talk about this. All right, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. We have two open lines. You can give me a call if you want, 877-207-2276. I'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. We have two open lines. Why don't you give me a call? 877-207-2276. Let's see. Oh, yeah, that's right. Back to Angel from Raleigh, North Carolina. Welcome.
Yes.
You're still there?
Yes.
Okay. So go ahead.
So I was just saying I've been praying about whether I should or should not get the COVID shot.
Okay.
It's easier for me to put my trust in God, but I know that He gave us wisdom mm-hmm. to be able to come up with a vaccine. So I guess I was just trying to get your take on it.
Yeah, I haven't done any research on the COVID vaccines. A doctor called up about 3 weeks ago or so and talked on the show, and he talked about how some of them are using aborted stem cell stuff. Some has DNA alteration stuff in it, and others are perfectly fine. Just there are different approaches for getting the COVID vaccine in. And for that reason, my personal opinion about just me, I'm not going to take it. That's just me. And I've already had COVID. I had it. My wife's had it. And, you know, that's it. So I don't have to worry about it. They say, yes, you do. You can get it again later. Well, okay. But, you know, we take vitamin D3, thousands of milligrams a day, and other stuff that we take that we know that's supposed to help. And so we do that. But magnesium and potassium I take, and vitamin C. I have a big bag. I recommend this for people. You get a big bag of pure vitamin C. You can go online and just look for it. Just pure vitamin C. And whenever you start feeling a little bit bad, you take a mega quantity, like 10, 15, 20,000 milligrams worth. Put it into a glass of water and put it a little bit of baking soda in it, and it does an activation thing after it fizzes. You just drink it. Hold your nose and drink it. Not real pleasant. But I've noticed when I've done that, when I just barely start to feel a little bit, am I getting sick? Is something going on? Boom. 9 times out of 10, it goes away within a couple hours after I drink that. I believe in holistic stuff, but I also believe in penicillin and morphine and operations and stuff like that. I'm not negating science and medicine at all. My life has literally been saved twice from by medicine. I had pneumonia once, and I would have died, and I had gallbladder almost ruptured in me, and they took it out, emergency surgery, and that would have killed me. Hey, praise God. And you're right, we got to be wise. But
right.
I just don't trust what I've heard about the COVID thing. And if people feel they want to do it, then fine. I would just ask the Christians to make sure that, do a little bit of research and find out if the kind that they're being given by at any place doesn't have any bad stuff in it, if you know what I mean.
Right.
If it doesn't, go for it.
Well, I certainly appreciate your input on that.
Yeah.
It's helped me to just hear your intake. So thank you very much.
And I'm not against vaccines at all. I'm for them. And if I had a doctor who said, look, Matt, we've got this, because I have my doctor, he's a great guy, and if he said, yeah, this vaccine, he's checked, he's a Christian, and this is all good, there's no problems in it, and it helps with these, I'd say, hey, go ahead, I'll take it right now, get it done.
Right.
I would.
Right.
So no big deal. Just depends on what it is, okay?
Right. All right. Well, thank you so very much, Matt, and God bless you.
God bless you. All right. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Okay. All right. Let's get to Michael from New York. Hey, Michael. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, man. How you doing, sir?
Doing all right. Hanging in there. What do you got, buddy?
Great. So what I'm curious about is the concept of being born again, being filled with the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
God sent the Spirit of His Son in our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
We've been joined to the Lord with one Spirit. So can you just maybe elaborate on what it looks like for the born-again believer in the unseen realm? Like, where does this transpire? Where does the Spirit of God reside? Is it in the chest? Is it in the brain? Where is the Holy Spirit joining with our spirit? How does that separate from the soul?
Good question. Don't know. That just that fast. In John 14, 23, Jesus says the Father and the Son there will come and make their abode in us. I don't know how it works. I just don't know. I know that my spirit is in my body, and I can see out my eyes. But I also am aware that in there also is the presence of the Lord. How does that work? Don't know. Where exactly is it? Is it in my left hand? I don't know. Is it in my heart? I don't know. In my brain? I don't know. And the Bible doesn't tell us, and so I can't answer it for you. That's the best I got.
That's why I wanted to ask you. Sounds great. Yeah, no, being honest and transparent, that's why listen, you've asked the same question before, and that's where I'm coming up with. I don't know. So, sounds good.
Well, he says, you know, he is in our spirit. I think there's a verse for that. But even what does that mean? So, you know, I don't know. Oh, that's a good question, though.
Yeah,
which I had
to
answer, but I don't.
You got it, Mr. Slate. Thank you so much.
Hey, you're welcome so much. All right. Well, God bless.
Have a great day.
You too. Okay. All right, we have three open lines. If you want to give me a call, everybody, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. Let's get to Mike from Pennsylvania. Mike, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, what's going on, Matt?
Hey, no, just doing radio, man. What are you doing?
Hanging in there.
All right.
I watched your debate with AK, and there was something... When he kept saying it's a condition but not the basis.
Yeah, it was weird.
What could you tell me what did he mean by that? Is there any difference? To my knowledge, there's no difference in between the two. Am I correct? Or
yeah, he was confused in that, and the reason he was confused is because he holds to false teaching and he's trying to make it make sense. And he has woven himself he's backed himself into a corner, an intellectual, spiritual corner, because he requires baptism as something that's necessary for salvation, among other things. I think what our last debate, we debated baptism. What did we debate before? Total depravity? I'm trying to remember what it was. Which one did you watch that I had with him?
I watched the one recently. It was, I guess it was a Calvinism debate that you had.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and I did watch the baptism one that you had a while ago. I think that was on your channel.
Yeah. Yeah, and Romans 9, that's what it was, Romans 9 debate.
Yeah, Romans 9, yep.
Yeah, and I remember that, you know, and I can open up the notes I have from that debate. But, when you deny the truth of God's word like this, which is what he does, you just get into all kinds of whacked stuff. And I remember that. I remember going, what is he saying? It didn't make any sense.
I was hoping, I was like, Matt, please ask him what's the difference between the two.
Yeah, it didn't make any sense what he said. Yeah. I tried to understand it, but you know how debates go sometimes. They go really quickly and kind of move along, and you forget you're going to ask this or that. But, you know, I got my notes I'm looking at. Because what I do now is I keep notes, my opening statement, notes and things like that. And then when they talk, I use my speech program and I take notes out of what they say and I have records of what they do. So
I like that you do that.
Yeah. So hold on, buddy. We'll get a break.
All right.
Okay. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. We do have three open lines, 877-207-2276. If you want to give me a call, I'll be waiting for you. I'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the show. We have three open lines. Why don't you give me a call? 877-207-2276. Let's get back to Mike from Pennsylvania. Hey, Mike, welcome. You're on the air again.
Yeah, so like I said, I was just confused about that. I was really hoping you would ask him. You know, what was the difference? Maybe the next time you guys have a debate, you can make them clarify what's the difference between that. But also another question I had was, when the non-reform people will say or teachers will say, you know, they have that requirement that you either have to be, you know, good enough or wise enough to choose. You need some type of quality, you know. I even had one guy tell me that he was smart enough to choose Christ.
Oh yeah.
So, what? My question is: could this be an argument? What gives a person their personality?
Well, that's an
interesting
discussion.
Is that outside of God's will?
No, nothing can occur unless God. Works it, and the Bible talks about him forming us in the womb and things like that. but at any rate, I got distracted. Something popped up and made me laugh. Sorry. It's something else. I'm having another conversation during the break about site speed, believe it or not. And anyway, someone's made a comment about made me chuckle. So, I'm sorry, I got distracted. You got to repeat. Go ahead. What'd you say?
Oh yeah. So what I was saying is, you know, I had somebody tell me that they were smart enough to choose Christ.
Yeah.
But and then so my question would be, would this be a good argument against that? Like, what makes a person's personality? Is a person's personality outside of the realm of God's will? Like, how do they get their personality?
Well, God is one who knits us and forms us in the womb. That's what the Bible says. And when I have discussions about this issue of people being able to believe, and one believes and one does not, and as the Arminians, the hyper-Arminians, try and say that everything is all up to the individual will, I say, well, then where does the will come from? And they say, well, God makes it, and he puts it in that body at that place at that time with those abilities, those disabilities, those tendencies. And he says, well, God. I said, well, then isn't it God who is then ordaining who believes and who does not believe by the arrangement of the characteristics that any individual would have? And they can't get out of that argument. But they're failing to understand something. It doesn't matter what personality you have, gentle or mean or good or bad or quick or not or what. God is the one who grants repentance. 2 Timothy 2:25, God is one who grants that we believe. Philippians 1:29. This is what the Bible says. It says in Jesus in John 6:65, he says, no one can come to me unless it's been granted to him by the Father. Now, these are verses that says what it says, and I have to believe it. So it does not depend upon a personality or one person's will or whatever. It depends upon God. That's what Romans 9 talks about. It does not depend upon the man who runs or the man who wills, but upon God who has mercy. Well, then you'll say to me, then why does he still find fault? Or who resists his will? Who are you, old man, to stand up to God? And the thing molded will not say to the molder, why did you make me like this, will it? Does not God have a right to make from one lump, the same lump, one vessel for honorable use, and from the same lump, another vessel for destruction? That's right. Well, it's just saying that God has the right to do with his creation as he desires. Now, this is the problem. Some people will say, you know, I don't like that. Well, then take Romans 9 out of your Bible. That's what it teaches. You know? And what A.K. Richardson did in our debate was fail to deal with the issues of God's sovereignty over individuals, because what all false religious systems do, one way or another, is demote God and elevate man. That's how it works. We are by nature people who like to elevate ourselves, our egos, our pride, our ability, you know, and say, yes, I take credit for my believing in God. That guy down the street, he wasn't smart enough or wise enough to believe in God like I was. That's what it ultimately comes down to. People say, no, I was humble when I believed in Christ. It wasn't pride, it was humility. Oh, really? I'm glad you're so humble. You know?
Yeah.
You're saying it's a quality that was in you that allowed you to come to Christ. You know, it's just, people just don't get it. And it's because of the weak-kneed preachers that are out there teaching, it's about you and your free will, because the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Caucasian surfer Jesus is asking permission to come into your heart, you know? And I'm like, oh! And so they don't understand that God's a sovereign king, and we need to get into his will, not him work to get into ours. The weak-kneed, milquetoast, stupid preaching that goes on out there, man-centered stuff, oh, it just makes me mad. But there are some good preachers out there, you know, and stuff like that. So, just as Melissa Owens says in our chat, man tries to set himself upon the throne of God. That is so right. And the way I look at it is, those people, and I'm not saying they're not saved, but, and I'm in this group too, because I have my pride and my selfishness, but I know this though. The only reason I'm saved is because of God's grace. Period. That's it. Yeah. But a lot of people, what they do, they say, well, I'm the one who chose. I'm the one who got baptized. I'm the one who did this. I'm the one who doesn't go to the movies that are bad. That's why I'm in. Well, you know, they're on their knees before the throne, and they're reaching their finger out, and they're touching that throne. They want just a little bit of that autonomy and that glory for themselves. And they have to realize that's just not how it is. I hate that doctrine. I do.
Yeah. I just don't see how they don't get it, you know, but... it just shows the depravity, I guess.
That's right. Yeah. We are depraved in our nature, and it is what it is. Especially Charlie here, who's on the screen with us and stuff, he's really depraved. I've known him for a long time. So I know how bad he is. Yeah, that's right. He's
well,
not
one
a,
more
he's,
comment
he agrees.
Before I
he's,
go.
He's really bad. What's that?
One more comment before I go. I heard you the other day. You talked about Rabbi Zacharias.
Yep.
That just, it really broke my heart. It broke my heart as much as it did when I heard he passed away.
Mm-hmm.
I struggle with sexual sin, and I look towards, I try to look towards Christ, and I think you bring me to a realization yesterday that I shouldn't, I put too much on human beings, and I may have been idolizing people like Ravi, yourself, William Lane Craig, and a bunch of people who helped me through my understanding of God's word, and I put too much on them.
And don't do that. Yeah, that's,
yeah, I should not do that.
Yeah, yeah, especially me. I don't know how bad those guys are, but I know how bad I am, so I can testify that anybody who looks at me for anything, you got bad judgment. But always keep your eyes. Well, it's true. And my wife right now, she's listening, she's going, "Amen to that." But it's true. You know, I'm saved by God's grace. I'm kept by God's grace. It wasn't me and my wisdom that chose God. It was God and His grace that chose me. And why did He choose me? I don't know. Because there's nothing good in me. And, and that's it. And so I want to live for my Lord. And in all honesty, I'm not trying to be humble here in public, but I don't believe I've ever done anything good. And I'm serious. Because every single thing that I do is touched by sin in one way or another. You know,
I feel the same way about myself. Yeah. I just, like, God just shows me how evil I am, like how sinful I am. And there's times where I feel like I am going in the right direction, and it's just like, you know, He just brings me back down to earth so many times. And if it was up to me, there's no way I would make it into heaven. And a lot of people say, how can God send people to hell? And I'm asking myself, how can God let me into heaven? I don't see it.
Yeah.
I don't see it.
Only because of His grace. I mean,
His grace, exactly. Yeah.
And I like the phrase that I heard a preacher say once, you know, I'm glad that God predestined me for the foundation of the world, because if you look at me now, He wouldn't pick me.
Yeah.
You know, I like that.
That's nice.
Yeah. And,
All right, buddy.
That's it. That's just how it goes.
Yeah.
All right, man. Okay,
God bless, man. Praying for you. Take care.
Thanks. You too. All right. Hey, folks, we're almost time for a break here. If you want to give me a call, we have four open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Pruno from Florida. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, hello, Ronnie. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. We got a break in about a minute, but go ahead.
Okay, so I heard you a few times talking about, like, you know, people ask about the Sabbath, mm-hmm. and you always use Romans 14, right?
Uh-huh, yep.
Okay, so, but when I read Romans 14, I don't see anywhere where it says the word Sabbath. So are we reading into that? Because it talks about
food,
talks about days.
Right, and it says in verse 5, one person regards one day above another, another regards every day alike. Is the Sabbath included in that broad scope of every day? And yes, it is.
But well, that's what
necessity.
I want to
ask. Yeah, we got a break, though. Can you hold on? We'll be right back.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Hey, folks, we have four open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome to the show. By the way, Matt Ritzenthaler, if you're listening on the radio, don't forget to pick up milk and eggs for your wife. All right, folks, we have four open lines. If you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. All right, Pruno, you back?
Yes, I'm back.
Okay.
So my question is, like, are you sure? Like, how sure? Like, 100%? Like, sure? 100%. Or maybe?
100%. Because it's
100%.
In other regards, every day. So can you tell me what every day means?
Every day, but...
That's right. Is the Sabbath included in every day? In the category of every day?
Sure, but...
There you go.
Here's the question that I have, is that it talks about food, right? So what is the foods with the Sabbath has to do in common? That, you know, because...
Easy.
Because some scholars say that this is talking about regarding a day of fasting, because it was Pharisees will fast twice a week when it's only required in the law once a year. Mm-hmm. So maybe, do you think that could be it or no?
No. One person has faith that he may eat all things, but he was weak, eats vegetables only. The one who eats is not to regard with contempt the one who does not eat. And the one who does not eat is not to judge the one who eats, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person regards one day above another. Another regards every day alike. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it for the Lord, and he who eats does so for the Lord, for he gives thanks to God, and he who eats not, etc., etc. So
in the context with the food, like, what does the Sabbath have to do with food? Like,
eating,
it's kind of talking both.
There were dietary laws that were very big, clean and unclean. And one person is able to eat one thing and not another, not worship on this day. So it's just about legalism. Paul's refuting legalism. In Romans 14:5, one person regards one day above another, another regards every day alike. Every single day. Every single day, let each person be fully convinced in his own mind. Well, then, be fully convinced in your own mind. So, if you
do you think then the Paul would be considered as like changing the law or no?
No,
because
the law,
you know,
because
in Romans
fulfilled.
3 he says we uphold the law. No, I know it's fulfilled, but it does not mean that it's over. It means it's fulfilled in Christ, because he was the end goal end of the law. But so we're not saved by the law, but that does not mean that, well, it's abolished, because in the same word, you know, in the same sentence,
right,
it says I didn't come to abolish the law. So is Paul in here will be kind of, because throughout the whole time, we know Jesus kept the Sabbath, right? And we know the disciples kept the Sabbath, but here Paul is given the freedom to say, hey, you know, it's done away with. You think is that what he's saying?
What Paul's teaching is that we're not obligated to follow any law, and don't judge your neighbor if he wants to eat this or not eat that, or worship on this day or not worship on that day. That's what he's saying. We have freedom in Christ.
Yeah.
If you were to go to Romans 6 and 7, particularly verses Romans 6:6 and Romans 6:8, we have died with Christ, we've been crucified with Christ. In Romans 7:1-4, he was died is freed from the law. So if we've died with Christ, we're freed from being required to follow the law. Those who require following the law in order to be saved technically have not died with Christ. They're not redeemed. Because if you've died with Christ, the jurisdiction of the law occurs over a person as long as he lives, Romans 7:1. But when he dies, he's set free from the law. Well, if we've died in Christ, we're no longer obligated to follow that law. And in the context, it's in regard of salvation. The law cannot save us. It's a tutor that leads us to Christ, Galatians 3:24. So all we can do is just is use it as a guide. And this is what Romans 14 is talking about. This is why he's giving us freedom. We have the freedom to be able to serve one day or not another. That's all. That's all that's going on.
And that's one kind of thing, like, okay, so we get to obey the law if we want to, you know, for our own... Because
we want to,
because like you said, it's a good thing to do. You know, it's a lamp. David says it's a lamp to his feet. The Old Testament says it's holy, it's righteous. So we can't say it's bad and evil. You know, it's okay, but it's not for salvation. It's total agreement. But
right,
in sanctification, it could be used like, hey, I want to keep a day, you know, Sabbath,
right,
for the Lord, you know, with my family, and that would be fine.
Yep,
right,
that's exactly correct.
You would agree to that.
Absolutely.
I think you would agree to that.
Absolutely.
But let me ask you this. So one more question. So now on Hebrews, who do you think wrote Hebrews? Just because I know there's a split. You know, some
my
people
opinion,
say Paul, some people say.
Yeah, my opinion, it was
what
Paul.
What do you think?
Yeah, it was Paul. I believe it was Paul.
I think so, too. I think it was Paul, too, the way it was written. So if we go to Hebrews 4:9, And there also talks about, you know, entering the rest, right? And then and it's a whole chapter. Chapter 4 talks about entering that, and then did not enter the rest and so on. But then 4:9, the verse 4:9, and it's actually missed. You know Greek, so help me out with here, because you probably know way more than me.
Very rusty in Greek, but what's your question about it, though?
But okay, so the word there is sabbatismo, right? And they translated it as rest. This is Sabbath rest, right? Where if you look at it in the Greek, it's only used one time in the whole Bible, and it actually means Sabbath keeping. So it says there therefore remain Sabbath keeping rather than Sabbath rest. So now, I checked this with a scholar and with a scholarly work and some of the bigger, word for word translations, they actually explain it. That's what it is. And Paul uses it only one time. So here he seems like he says, well, therefore remains Sabbath keeping. Keeping, we know it means protecting, keeping, taking,
I got you.
Keeping it.
So what's your question about
and
it then?
Over the, So in Romans, he's kind of given freedom, like do whatever you want, whatever day. But over here, he's contradiction,
No, it's not.
And I'm trying to figure out how
look at the context.
Together.
Verse 7, he again fixes a certain day. I got barking in the background there, man. He again fixes a certain day. Yeah. He again fixes a certain day today, saying through David, after so long a time, just as he had said before, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, he would have not have spoken of another day after that. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered into his rest has himself also rested from his work. And so that's what's going on. It's just talking about the issue of rest. And so, since the word only occurs there once, let's see, Hebrews 4:9, and let's see, the NSB says Sabbath rest, ESV Sabbath rest, therefore a rest for the people, and the King James, New King James, a rest for the people, RSV Sabbath rest, Sabbath rest out of the LEV. It goes on and on. That's what they're saying. So
yeah, but if you check the Greek, it's Sabbath.
Careful. Careful.
It's definitely Sabbath.
No. Hold on. You got to be careful here. Greek is not that easy to do sometimes to translate. You might take a word that has a range of meanings, and you got to be careful, because I know enough about this to say that there are rules of interpretation and translation, and they get be pretty annoying. Because when the dative of means occurs after a genitive absolute, you translate it this way. It gets into stuff like that. And so it's not just, hey, let's look at an interlinear. This is what the word means, so that's how it means in English. Not always the case like that. That's a lot of times people make bad mistakes when they do that as a technique for translating. So we have to be very, very careful. Okay? Because I just looked
at... But definitely used only one time, and it's definitely kind of literal translation means.
Right, but
so
why
I
is it? Why is it that the NASB, ESV, King James, RSV, LEB, NIV, CSB, and Douay Rheims say rest, Sabbath rest?
Could they be wrong? Is it possible human error and zero theology?
It's possible.
Making mistakes?
It's possible.
Because I have... Okay,
Hold on. It's possible. But now you're saying all of them are wrong, and it means keeping the Sabbath in order to be there with God. If you look at the context, it's not talking about that.
And definitely it's not. It's talking about the Sabbath rest as Jesus is our Sabbath rest. So we no longer need to do it. But however, as far as our bodies and God created us, which you were talking about even earlier, He even knows He created us in the womb. So if He created us, He knows what we need. We need one day of rest. Now, so nobody's going to argue. You're not going to say, well, I want
you
to work 7 days a week or 8 days a week.
But
so the question is basically that I see over here that he's saying that, there remains Sabbath keeping rather than rest.
No, it doesn't say that. It does not say that. It does not say that.
Okay, how many times did he use
Sabbath. I'm just saying.
Okay, look. Stop. It doesn't say that, and you want to argue that it does. The scholars that have translated these Bible verses disagree with you. The context disagrees with you. So now you're just kicking against the goads, all right? That's it.
But can we agree to this, though? Like,
We're going to move along because you're just arguing. Okay, and we're going to move on to the next caller. Let's get to Anthony from Oklahoma because I know we don't have much time. I wanted to get to you before the end of the show. So what do you got, buddy? Anthony, are you still there? Anthony? Uh-oh. No, if I'm hearing him. Come on. Everything's clicked on correctly. Anthony, I don't hear you. Maybe you're panicking right now, trying to get your phone to work. Don't know. He's running, going to the phone, diving in the air for it because he did something. Don't hear him. He has but what's written here is Galatians 1:6 or 2 Corinthians 11:4. Yes. There you go. I hear you. Sure. I you're on the air. So what do you got, buddy? Are you there? Anthony?
Hello, Matt.
Yes, Anthony.
Hello, Matt.
Yes, I'm hearing you. You're on the air.
Okay.
What do you got?
Matt.
Yes.
Hello? Okay. Yeah, I got a question about Galatians 1:6 and 2 Corinthians 11:4.
All right. What about it?
All right. Matt, this pertains to the seven-day Adventist. Do you believe that they are following a different Jesus and following a different gospel?
There are different subgroups within SDA theology. If they require Seventh-day worship as a true and necessary part of becoming and staying saved, then they're false. But not all SDA groups do that. Okay.
Okay. Can you tell me, I didn't know that. I thought it was just one whole church.
I've talked to multiple SDA people over the years. Some hold to this error, and some don't. I've had terrible of them tell me that, no, we don't hold to that. And this is what I've been getting from different SDA people. Trust me, I have grilled SDA people, getting three different things. Okay. That's why I'm a little confused about it, because there really is supposed to be only one SDA movement. In fact, the SDA publishing house is literally 2.5 miles from me, from all of the publishing area. And I've been in there, so I can get all the books I want. But, man, we're out of time. Call back tomorrow, buddy, okay? Because we ran out of time, man. It's hard to...
Okay. Hey, Matt. Thank you, brother. Thank you.
All right. God bless. Hey, folks, sorry about that. We're out of time. May the Lord bless you. And tomorrow's Friday, and by His grace, we're back on the air then. We'll talk to you later. God bless. Bye.